Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Samson's not in the bad place. Technically, I'm not breaking any rules. Now, he can look over. He's on the fence. He can look over the fence and see the foxy women, but he's not technically there. You guys with me? Okay, so I think this is a huge strategy of the enemy, by the way, the enemy of God, that he loves to deaden our senses very subtly and very slowly. He'll get us flirting on the edge of border town, like Samson.
If you're driving on an old, winding Forest Service road with a steep drop-off on one side, most likely, you're not going to see how close you can get to the edge before falling off. In that case, the outcome is apparent. It's going to end badly for you. With sin, the outcome may not seem so obvious, but it's a cliff's edge. In today's message, Pastor Michael will encourage us to stay far away from sin. Don't give it any opportunity to sneak into your life, because before long, it'll explode into a huge problem. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 as he continues his message, The Opposing Team's Strategy.
I've met great Christians and I just don't agree with them, but I meet good Christians that have said this, what I'm about to say. They say, well, for us, we've drawn the line at rated R. We don't watch rated R movies. And I think that's a great idea. But here's the problem that we have with that. We don't want Hollywood dictating our standards. Does that make sense? So sometimes we'll see rated R movies and I'm absolutely not convicted about what I saw in that rated R movie. I'm just not convicted about it. Yet we'll watch a PG movie or a PG-13 movie and be totally convicted and have to turn that off. We don't let Hollywood dictate our standards. The Holy Spirit has given us His Spirit. The Bible says to guide us and lead us and direct us into what? All truth. Okay? So the Spirit has to lead us. Okay, we have, especially when our kids were little, we would be watching a PG movie and we would have to stop it and turn it off because the teenager on the screen was treating their parents with such disrespect. We were like, you're not watching that. The kids would be like, come on, why can't we watch it? We'd say, we're not watching it because we don't want you to be a stinking brat like the kid on TV. That's a non-negotiable for us. We're not putting up with it. Does that make sense? I mean, when our kids were small, we had PBS and Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers was awesome and different things like that. And we let them watch other things too. But I remember there's one show on PBS called Arthur, and we wouldn't let our kids watch Arthur. And other Christians in the church would be like, oh, I can't believe you don't let your kids watch Arthur. Why not? And I was like, because Arthur treats his little sister like a total punk. And we don't want our kids treating their little sister like that. And if you don't agree with us, we're really sorry, as their kids are like watching horror movies and stuff. Listen, the Holy Spirit, I could sit here and preach a sermon and just list all the sins that are wrong, the sinful desire, that what Peter meant by sinful desire. That's not what I'm going to do tonight. I'm just going to tell you, abstain. When the Spirit of God rises up inside of you as a dad, as a mom, whatever, stand up and say, I am not of this world. I don't care if everybody else is watching it. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. I'm not. Because I understand the strategy here. The strategy is against my soul. He wants to destroy. Let me tell you something Kelly and I decided a long time ago. We know Satan wants to take out our marriage. We know that. It's been very obvious. Okay? Here's what happens if Michael and Kelly break up. Maybe there are some. I've never seen a church that'll hire a pastor that got a divorce. Especially if it was due to an affair or something like that. So here's the deal. It's not just us breaking up. It could down our ministry. You with me? So we have a lot at stake. And it's not just ministry and churches that we've served. It's not just that. It's my kids, dude. My grandchildren now. Do you understand the statistics go way up? If your parents have been divorced, statistically, you have a way greater chance of being divorced. Does that make sense? I mean, it's just the facts. I don't care what anybody says. It's the truth. If your parents are still married, then statistically, it goes down that you will get a divorce one day. It's a big deal. Do you understand how much is at stake? Satan has a strategy. He's very subtle. When Peter says, abstain, dude, stay away from sexual desires. How many times have I had to talk with men who just... In the last week, I talked with a guy who doesn't live here, but this guy called me and he said, "Pastor Michael, man, can I talk to you? I've talked to my pastor. I've talked to my wife. I'm addicted to porn." And I'm going, "You? Really?" He goes, "Yeah. It's just something I just can't get rid of it. I don't know what's wrong with me." He's like, "I know, and I've talked to my wife about it, and I've hurt her now, and I've talked to my pastor, and he's given me some ideas and things, but I don't know what to do. Would you please pray with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll pray with you." Dude, that'll blow up your marriage. It'll blow up your children. Come on. We have left friends' homes. We did at least once this has happened to us, where we left someone's home and we're like, "You know what? We can't go to their house anymore." And the reason is because I can't handle it. I know my limitations. Does that make sense? And I'm like, we weren't dragging them up. They were dragging us down. And so this isn't good. I have to abstain. And so we would make excuses when they invite us over. Hell yeah. And some of them we were related to. It was really, really hard. You know, we just got to be careful. Because when we're with those people, they take us down. Does that make sense? Once you set up non-negotiable parameters to your life, absolutes, it doesn't make you a churchy, stuffy, legalistic, boring person. It doesn't do that. It's not what we think. Well, if I do that, man, if I just put absolutes in my life, I'm going to be this legalistic, churchy, stuffy, boring person. Quite contraire, my friend. It's a little French there to kind of wake you up. Just contraire. Quite contraire. It does do a couple things, and I'm going to share them both with you right now. Number one is this. When you set up non-negotiables, it brings about simplicity. It makes life simple. I don't have to debate with myself like, okay, is it okay for me to do this today? Or okay, who am I with? And I got to make sure I'm not a bad example to them. And okay, so when you have non-negotiables and you set them up in your life, it just makes life really, really simple. Think about it. You do this all the time in your life, right? Like, I'll give you an example. When I wake up in the morning, my first thing I do before I even go to the bathroom, I brush my teeth. I cannot stand the film and the taste and the breath. I just can't handle it. So for me, it's a non-negotiable, dude. I don't wake up every morning and go, what are the pros and cons of brushing my teeth today? Now, if I do brush, I'm going to waste some toothpaste and that it's getting more expensive. But it's probably good, you know, maybe people will talk to me. The pro, if I do brush my teeth, maybe people will talk to me and they'll come up to me, but I guess that could also be a con. Maybe I don't want people to talk to me today. And so I don't do that. It's a given. It's a resolved issue. I brush my teeth. You guys with me? I know that's a silly illustration, but we have non-negotiables in our life all the time. And if we set these things up spiritually for us, we don't have to, it simplifies everything. And we do mature. Listen, when Kelly and I, we have five children. When we only had one, my son Connor, he was a little bit less than a year old. I'll never forget this story. We were youth pastoring. We had graduated Bible College Seminary and went to Iowa. We were there for 1 year. It was hell. But we were there, and I would get up early, and I'd go to church like I still do. I'd get here before Kelly and pray and worship and set up chairs and do all the stuff that I would do as a youth pastor. And then Kelly would come later. So Kelly is in our little apartment with little baby Connor. And we had a little puppy. Remember, we had bought this little puppy. I don't remember the name, but it was just a little demonic thing. And so Kelly's blow-drying her hair, getting ready for church and doing whatever and getting ready. And I'm gone. I'm gone. And Connor's walking around on the carpet. And she looks down and she sees Connor. And he's got brown stuff all over his face and in his mouth and on his hands. And Kelly turns off the hair dryer, goes, "Honey, what is this?" And she comes down and he's looking at her smiling. And our little puppy had left a present on the carpet. And Connor chowed down. Now, I know that's gross. And Connor's at camp right now, so I can talk about him. But here's the thing. That's disgusting. It's gross. And she came and she washed him and washed his mouth out and came to church. And she was mad and freaking out and angry at me. For some reason, I'm like, I don't know. I didn't want the dog. Anyway. Here's my point, okay? My son now is the next generational pastor here at the church. He's 28 years old. He plays this thing usually. And loves Jesus, man. He's awesome. And Connor and I are pretty close. And so at times we'll walk around town here. Let me tell you something Connor has never done as we've been walking around town. I've never been walking with Connor down the sidewalk, seen a doggy do on the side of the road, and had to hold Connor back. You know what I mean? I'm not holding him. I'm going, come on, son, don't do it. He's like, Dad, I got it. I have it. Why? Why not? Okay? Because Connor outgrew that disgusting thing. Does it make sense? He matured. Actually, I'm going to say this. It is a resolved issue for Connor not to chow down on dog poop. Okay? It's a done deal. It's a non, like even if you begged him, if you said, I'm going to pay you, bro, if you'll do that again, it's a not, he's not doing it. Okay? Very simple. I know that's a stupid illustration, but gang, when we grow, and as Paul says, I would that you would grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As we're growing in our relationship, there are things that I don't want to munch on anymore. There are things that I don't want to view anymore. There are things that I don't want to do anymore. They are non-negotiables that I've set up. And let me tell you what it does. It simplifies your life. It doesn't make you a boring, churchy person. It makes you a simple person. I promise. I promise. And the second thing that when you bring abstinence and put these things in your life is not only it brings simplicity, but it brings sanity. It brings sanity. It brings saneness. Think of the story. I'm going to tell this story because I love this story, man. It's one of my favorites in the Bible. It's found in Judges 13, 14, 15, 16. The story of Samson, right? The superhero of the Bible, the strong guy, right? And so Samson, it's so awesome. Samson's been dedicated to the Lord. He's got a call in his life to be the deliverer, judge for God's people or whatever. And so Samson's the man, right? Samson's this big old guy with a big old girl problem. You understand? He's got an eye for the ladies. And yet he's got a call in his life. And so here's what's going down. You start looking at Samson's life, and we see that Samson is wandered down to this town called Timnath, okay? You say, well, who cares? Well, very interesting, because God's people were not to associate with the Philistines. Anybody from Philistia? Because they were anti-God, they worshiped other idols and stuff like that. God didn't want his people mixing with them, intermarrying with them, and all that other stuff, right? We know this. But if you look on a map, interesting, Timnath is not in the area of Philistia. It's not, he's not there, but it's right on the edge. It's right there on the, it's a border town of Philistia. You with me? And so technically, Samson's not in the bad place. Technically, I'm not breaking any rules. Now, he can look over. He's on the fence. He can look over the fence and see the foxy women, but he's not technically there. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this is a huge strategy of the enemy, by the way, the enemy of God, that he loves to deaden our senses very subtly and very slowly. He'll get us flirting on the edge of border town. Like Samson. And we're there. We're not technically doing anything wrong. We're just sort of flirting with danger. And what happens? Okay? Bad things happen. And by the way, I've seen this in my own life when I look in the mirror. I've seen it in other Christians' lives now over the last lot of years. I'm going to tell you, this is what people do. Please hear this. First time they view something or they see something or they do something or they hear somebody else, they're flabbergasted like, oh, I can't believe that. That's horrible. The second time it happens, they're shocked. The third time, they're like, oh, that is really not good. Fourth time, that's not good. Fifth time, I'm not going to do it. I mean, if they want to do it, that's fine. I'm not about that. Sixth time, seventh time, eighth time. Pretty soon, you're like, eh, whatever. They can do whatever they want to do. You with me? Ninth time, 10th time, 11th time, I've even seen Christians be like, well, I'll try it. Not that bad. You don't flirt in border town. It can lead to destruction. And if you understand the story of what went on, by the way, can I just say this? The number one asked questions by young adults to leaders like me, pastors, Connor, the youth pastor, other pastors I've talked to, you know what the number one question is? How far is too far? As a youth pastor, I remember my senior pastor would say, we need you to preach on premarital sex and abstinence at least once or twice a year. I'm like, oh, we got to beg our Christian kids not to do it. Really? How far is too far? Here's what I want to do. I want to go right up to the border, and then I'll stop there if I can just get to the border. Well, it's really hard to stop when you get that close. I'm just telling you, be careful. Don't flirt around on border town. So what happens? Samson sees this beautiful foxy lady and falls for her, and he goes home and tells his mom. He's like, Mom, get her for me, which is I always thought was so weird, like, Mom, get her for me. Who are you? Get her for me, Mom. And then Mom's like, oh, don't you want to get a nice little girl from Israel? She's, you know, why do you have to go down there? That's not really appropriate. It's like, Mom, I want her anyway, and get her. She's foxy. So he falls in love and everything, and the lady, long story, she ends up marrying somebody else and burns Samson. And he's ticked. So what does he do? The foxy lady burned him, so he gathers a bunch of foxes, ties their tails together, lights them on fire, and sends them into the Philistine camp. They burn all of the fields, and it starts a war, and lots of people die. Okay? I'm oversimplifying the story, but listen to what I'm saying. It started with a man of God who had a call on his life flirting in border town. Now, as you read the story, it goes on to this. Samson now is in Gaza. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, go look on a map where Gaza is. It's smack dab in the middle of Philistia. In the area. So now he's not on border town anymore. He's slipped all the way in, which is another strategy of the enemy. Just deaden our senses. So he's there in Gaza, and of course, you know, he falls in love with Delilah. Right? And the story is so silly to me. I mean, I believe it's true because it's in the Bible, but good night. This guy's an idiot. He's so in love with them. You guys know the story, right? She's like, Samson, you're so strong and handsome and big and gorgeous and oh, but if somebody did want to overpower you, how would they do that? She'd been paid off by the bad guys, right? So Samson's like, well, you know, it's a secret and I'm like, well, don't you love me? Okay, well, I guess, you know, if you tied me up with bowstrings, leather bowstrings really tight, and then, you know, that would take away my strength and I'd be done. Oh, okay. Why don't you go to sleep? So he goes to sleep. She ties him up with leather bowstrings. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He wakes up. Pop, 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 pop. Where are they? You lied to me. I can't believe it. Look at that. You busted those strings, right? Now you're thinking Samson should get a clue at this point. Right. I can't believe you lied. I told you don't love me. Yes, I do love you. I love you, honey. Okay, well then tell me your strength. Okay, if you bind me up with new ropes, that'll totally do it. Okay, well, rock-a-bye, baby. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Pop, 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 pop. Where are they? You lied to me. I can't believe. Keeps happening, right? I can't believe. Oh, I do love you, babe. Come on. I do love you. Come on. It's just a secret. It's a family deal. Oh, fine. Okay. If you weave my hair into a loom, I'll lose. This is the funniest part to me. It's just like, do you know what the looms looked like back then? They're these huge honking, like, I mean, it's like, and he's asleep. Now, as a Nazarite, he wasn't supposed to drink, but I'm going to suggest to you he was drunk out of his mind to be able to sleep through a loom on your stinking head. But anyway, so she looms him up and everything. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He wakes up and rips the thing out. Where are they? You lied to me again. I'm done. We're not going to make it. Honey, we're going to make it. I'm sorry. Oh. Listen, if it's really that big of a deal, it's my hair, okay? It is my hair. I told you the loom. I was wrong about that. If you cut my hair. How dumb is this guy? So she goes to sleep. Zzz. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. To me, it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. I think it's Judges 16:20. And it says this. It says, he got up to fight as he did before, but he did not know that the Lord had departed. He didn't know the Lord had left him. And so, of course, now he's like a regular dude, and they overpower him, right? And I got to read you, it's the next verse. Yeah, 16:20 was that one, but look at 16:21. The Philistines seized him, and they gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with bronze shackles, and he was forced to grind grain in the prison. In that one verse right there, you see what sin does to a person, okay? Sin blinds, it binds, and it grinds, okay? They first thing they do is they gouge out his eyes. They blind him, right? Well, this is what sin does to us. Matter of fact, the Bible even comes out and tells us that Satan has put blinders on people that don't believe. They can't see. They're blind. Sin blinds people. I have met people, and maybe you have too, people that you say something like this, dude, you were totally loving God, man. You were going after Jesus. You were teaching Bible studies. You were leading worship. What happened? Why are you involved in this lifestyle now? What's going on? And you know what they'll say? Well, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. You know what? I think it is. I think you're being judgmental, Pastor. I can show you right here in God's word. This is what we do. I can show you that what you're doing, what you're believing, how you're living is a sin. I'll show it to you. And this is what I've heard. Well, I don't know about that. I don't think I believe that part of the Bible. So that's not what Jesus said. Jesus was about loving people and not judging people. So that's what I believe those parts of the Bible, but I don't believe that part of the Bible. You with me? Literally blinded to their sin. That's what sin will do to people. It blinds you to the truth, okay? The second thing it does, it binds you, gets people in. You've met people, I've met people, you know, they're literally bound by their sin. They can't get out of it. Like the young man that I talked to this last week, who told me, I can't get out of this pornography thing. No matter, even, you know, people told me that if I was just accountable with some people and I told my wife, it would all be okay, and it's not okay. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I think I might lose my marriage. That's a person who's in bondage. You with me? Okay, they're bound up. They can't get free. It's called addiction. I'm hooked on this thing. God wants to set you free from that thing. Amen? He does. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. But sin will do that. And if you even flirt on Border Town with it, it'll blind you. And then it'll bind you. And the last thing it does, it'll grind you. The graphic shows Samson, you know, pulling. This is kind of what they do. They usually would use a donkey or a mule or some kind of an animal. It would be tied to a large beam that went to a millstone that they would throw grain in there. And you would just go around and around and grind that stuff down. But when they had slaves or when they had prisoners, and they were strong, they would use them to grind this stuff down. And so that's what that verse tells us, is that they put him and he was grinding. What they're talking about is this. Literally, he was spending his life just going around and around. And that's what sin does. I think it's the last thing it does. People that find themselves blinded and then bound up in it, they find themselves grinding their life away, going around and around, wasting their life. It's a waste. Dude, an animal could do what you're doing. You're wasting your life. Gang, you need to understand, Samson had the greatest potential, perhaps in all of Israel's history. I mean, there was a lot of dudes that were used by God, Gideon and different guys like that. None of them had the strength that could take out 1,000 dudes by themselves with a donkey jawbone. This guy had perhaps the greatest potential of anybody in Israel's history. But because he was a border town player and he thought he didn't have to abstain, he ended up pretty much a failure. Okay? When we commit to abstain from sinful desires as strangers and exiles in this land, it simplifies life and it brings sanity to life. We're sane and we're free. And so my question to anybody watching, is there something in your life? And again, I could list out a bunch of things, but is there something in your life that the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you about that you need to abstain from?
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage of 1 Peter that Pastor Michael discussed and use it to fuel your own conversations with the Lord. There's so much to learn from this New Testament book, and we're so glad you've chosen to study it with us. Maybe today, as you were listening, you realized there's something missing, some piece of this life that doesn't really fit. Maybe it's time to learn more about Jesus and how he can radically transform your life. If that sounds like you, then take a moment right now to visit our website, thealpinechapel.com. Under the menu, you'll find a page called Something Missing, and it's going to fill in that gap. You'll find out all about who Jesus is and what his plans are for you and why you need him so much. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. Would you let us know, too? We'd love the chance to talk with you more and answer any questions you may still have. Just head to the contact page at our website and send us a quick email. We also want to encourage you to get involved in a Bible-teaching church in your area. If your area happens to be Telluride, why not come join us this weekend at the Alpine Chapel? We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m., and we're easy to find. Visit thealpinechapel.com for directions. Be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. That officially brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for tuning in to Burning Hearts.